Good morning. Today is, for the sake, October the 8th, 2016. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners City County Quarterly Update. And we have with us this morning Aaron Cubey, City Manager.
Sure.
We have the full board present.
More or less.
Are you speaking for yourself, sir?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Good. I know Dan and the mayor have also been, of course, invited, and we'll make it upon their availability this morning also.
Okay.
So we have, from a standpoint of mutual interest, we have a number
Dan
of things.
There's Dan Young right there. Just walked in.
Council President.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you? Okay, let's try strengthen it up there, Keith. Attaboy. Attaboy.
Be there all day.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good.
We just got started. Commissioner Walker just asked, so what's up? So I thought I would just highlight a couple of things of mutual interest, especially coming up on our joint workshop October 24th.
Okay.
So we have a review of the final draft of the Economic Strategic Plan. We have the Allen Creek Road design, and we have a fire district feasibility study. So on the economic strategic plan, I've done a cursory review of the first draft, and I don't know if any of you have had a chance to take a look at that also.
I did. Is there another draft since then that could be provided?
I have not seen it yet.
Okay.
I've had...
I was gone, and I was waiting for it to come in so I could distribute it, but it hadn't come in yet.
I haven't seen it yet either, so I don't think it's been in yet. I did have some concern with the strategic plan, the way it was presented. My concern was that it was providing a lot of structure from a standpoint of cooperation and coordination between entities involved with economic development, but it was falling short, in my opinion, on the real... aspects of a economic development strategic plan and where we should focus our efforts and energies. And so that was something that we may want to discuss. You, as policy makers, may want to discuss. I did forward those comments to Eco Northwest, and supposedly they're going to be addressing some of that.
Okay.
I also asked staff to take a look at and review the actual request for proposal and scope of work, and relate it to the actual document that we provided, because I believe that it's not hitting the mark.
The draft that we were presented, Commissioner Walker put one out. It was the first preliminary draft. I think there's been a couple iterations since then, maybe.
I think there's been one since then, but
the basis of that one that I reviewed, you're absolutely right. It talked about structure. They talked about things that we had talked about initially with establishing a joint economic development committee. But frankly, you and I came up with that idea 2 years ago as something that needed to happen. I mean, it's not rocket science. Everybody has one who's really strategic about economic development implementation. The committee wants to implement the plan that the contractor presents. It says, these are your five elements that you need to be focused on. And then here are the subsections of each of those that you need to be working over the next 5 years to implement improving those elements of your economy. I don't see that at all.
That's what I was, you know, when I read those, I was thought, okay, this is the first draft, and they said they didn't have one of the reports at that time. I can't remember which one it was, but that they weren't, I thought it was coming, you know, that they were working on that part. That they were building like the skeleton, but they were going to put things on.
In our first meeting, we were very clear about we have an economic development plan that is up here, you know, says you should build your economy style stuff. We didn't want that. We want something that is tangible actions that can be implemented, processes that can be refined, sure, but. What are we supposed to do with the viticulture industry that we're not doing, that Douglas County is doing, the Umpqua area, that we're being kind of left behind? I don't like that.
And there should have been, in that vein, just taking the viticulture for example, a compare and contrast. What can we do they're not doing that we can separate ourselves?
Right. Make a distinction. That's what I was really hoping that this would deliver. And then, you know, we've been talking about putting money aside to say, okay, well, here's $30,000 to go advertise for the viticulture industry. And strategic way that this plan tells us that's going to result in X, Y, and Z. That's what I was feel so mm-hmm. bad.
Well, I feel good and bad about what I'm hearing. The good is that it sounds like we're on a similar page. The
yeah.
bad is that we both recognize that right now we're not getting what we should be getting. So
right.
as a policy board, and you know, we'd recommend the same thing to city council, but as a policy board, I think we need to hold strong with regards to the scope of work. And
mm-hmm.
if it's not complete, then you know, I would thank them mm-hmm. for the work that they've done, but send them back to the drawing board on some of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because
one of the things that I asked for, I think after the preliminary reviews of all of the policymakers from what they were doing interviews, and they
mm-hmm.
interviewed everybody,
mm-hmm.
they said, I want you to come back and tell me what you heard from everybody so that we have an understanding about the direction the contractor's going to go in. Because if somebody new to the city council or whatever says, well, I really want you to go focus on the timber industry and saying, what are the blah, blah, blahs of that? I'm going to say, no. We should say, no. That's the most studied element of our economy. There's been millions, if not $1 billion, spent by either the feds or the state on that issue. Focus on the stuff nobody's researched yet, the things that we don't know, the things
mm-hmm.
that aren't in the resource management plan by the BLM.
Mm-hmm.
That's And I didn't, I don't know if maybe I missed that meeting of where we kind of came
no.
back and coalesced and said, go forth and do good work. And
no, we had that review meeting over there, and we were like halfway
uh-huh.
through that was over there. And I thought we even made it clear then that, okay, this is a good structure, and yeah, you're getting there. And that was when I remember they didn't have a couple of their studies back, but didn't they? Didn't they say
right.
they had a couple of their studies?
Still
they had,
on
they
some
were
stuff.
Still working
mm-hmm.
on some
mm-hmm.
of those, gathering data.
Yep.
And I don't know that I ever saw anything on that. After, you know, I saw a report on marijuana, and I saw a report on the forestry, and which we, like I said, most studied around. And I was thinking, well, they're bringing more. Didn't happen. So go ahead.
Do you give them any goals and say by a certain date we want? I mean, you know, if this economic development for me has always been one that is where's the scoreboard, and how many points do you score, and how do you score those points?
Well, the whole thing
economic development just seems to be this kind of mythical thing out there that everybody wants, that everybody strives towards, but there's no real grading, I guess.
That's why you hire experts to quantify.
That's why we hire them.
And so, like Simon was saying, Commissioner Hare was saying, you know, without those clear objectives and tasks associated with these bigger goals, we might have the bigger goals, but we don't have the objectives
sure.
and tasks.
We know where we want to be, but there's a certain amount of steps you have to
that's
go
what I want
to get there.
Mm-hmm.
What's your game plan? Where's first base, second base, third base, and then we're home run?
It's just like our work
how
plan.
How do you define that home
yeah.
run? It's just like our work plan we have at the city. We have clear objectives and tasks to define exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And the problem with, like Commissioner Hare was saying, is if we get this group together, which is recommended and it's something that we have discussed
mm-hmm.
for quite a while,
mm-hmm.
someone in this group could say, we need to explore the timber industry. And then they might go off running on a timber industry
mm-hmm.
exploration for a year.
If not.
Because we don't have those clear objectives and tasks.
When we say, no,
yeah.
that's a very worthy cause, a very good goal. But that $50,000 needs to go to these three prescribed things that are going to give us
mm-hmm.
X bang for the buck.
But do we have, you know, going back to the speed of trust, has the board and the city council given clear intent as to where you want to be at the end of the day?
I think we did when we set out that the
scope of work
and the
RFP.
Scope of work, and when we met with them,
mm-hmm.
and they came in and met with me at least twice that I remember, and I told them even then in the interview, reiterated, what we want to know is what industries do we need to be pursuing? How do we go about doing that? And of course, at that time, you know, the marijuana industry is huge here. Do we pursue it or don't we? If we do, how?
Yeah.
The same with the viticulture. I mean, we are becoming, there's been articles about our wine industry here in magazines, including Sunset Magazine and Traveler Magazine and all that. Right. So here is these articles that are out there. So why aren't we capitalizing on that? What can we do different that separates us from Napa Valley or Willamette Valley, or wherever? What makes us different, and how do we do that? And I haven't heard they've done that. I didn't see it at the time.
No,
that's not the only one. Tourism, and I specifically talked about the viticulture, the tourism, the marijuana, all these things that were all, you know, turning around at the time, which still are. And I said, tourism. Everybody keeps talking about it's the climate and we have the river and all these things, but where do we focus? Do we focus on the river? Do we focus on our climate? Do we focus on the hiking? Do we kind of...
Where is their capacity?
Yeah, incorporate the
like maybe the river
water sports.
You know, there's only so much mm-hmm. capacity there. But this ag tourism thing that's getting... Bob Schaller and I had coffee this morning about the growers market. And how do we take that to the next level and take our successes and make them, you know, mm-hmm. expand on
right.
on those deals? And I don't know that they've really. I don't know how you don't. That's what we wanted, right? Is to take
mm-hmm.
the things that we're doing
to the
well
next step.
To the next step. Take the things that we're not doing well and show us what are those steps to improve. And we need a 5-year. Not anything longer than 5 years. An economy shifts. Mm-hmm. Things shift too much. Give us 5-year lookout, and we'll dedicate resources, time, and energy. But without that prioritization of these are the things that you should be working on, the 5 things or whatever, we're going to just be floating and spinning our wheels on different directions that really they don't have an end game.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be that unattainable thing you just go after, and at the end of the day, what do you have to show for it?
Yeah. And how far did you get?
Yeah.
But going back to what you said, you know, what makes us different from the Napa Valley?
Mm-hmm.
I think if we just focus on Grand Pass or Josephine County, we are really limiting our
mm-hmm.
our vision.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always said, you know, during the 81 fuel crunch, that look at all the things you could do within one tank of gas from
mm-hmm.
Grants Pass.
From
Oregon.
Crater Lake to the coast.
Lake to the coast, the redwoods, the caves, the wine
mm-hmm.
country, and include, you know, you hate to say the J word, include the Jackson County and the vicinity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we need to be the one that says we're, Josephine County is the hub of this. We're the epicenter of this rather than metro. They're the industrial epicenter. I get all that. But when you get into tourism, they don't have the beauty we have. Napa Valley does not have the beauty we have. And so, you know, those are the you know, what are our strong points?
Mm-hmm.
And not just think Grants Pass and Josephine County. What are the strong points regionally that we can maybe get with Curry County and Jackson County and Douglas County and group together as
right.
Region 3, basically, and say, we've got it all right here.
Mm-hmm.
And we do. And we need to champion that and crow about that a little bit. And I don't think we do because we're all separate entities figuring how can Jackson County look better. You know, well, Medford's got the airport. You know, well, okay, that's great. But we've got, and we can all go together. I think it'd be, you know, much, I think we'd get a better result. And we get more result and more impact outside of our area because if we exclude
right.
everybody.
I agree.
So, but liaisons can figure out how to get this contractor to come into. I didn't mean to cut Commissioner Heck off because he rarely says something, and when he does, it's usually valuable. So,
Commissioner Heck.
But
this conversation has been had. It was already expressed. Eco Northwest heard these things.
Mm-hmm.
That this is nothing new. What we're saying is revelational to what they've already heard. They have come back with their plan. And this is their plan, and I'm to acquiesce to it and genuflect and thank them very much for their work. And I mean, to me, this is their plan. This is not our plan. They're not putting together our plan with their expertise, developing our plan. They have a plan. They're going to put it together. They know better. Okay.
There's something in it.
There's nothing in it.
But that's not what we paid them for.
Yeah,
we paid them for our plan.
So there's just this big gap. I mean, to me, obviously, I don't have a whole lot of expectations that there's going to be anything realistically tangible achieved for this cost of money that's being time and money being spent with this company.
So what are you proposing?
Well, are they going to... They're very short-term... reality. We're going to sit down and say to them, hey guys, we don't like what you're doing. You are working for us. We are not working for you. You're working for us. Now, if you like that, great. Let's proceed and produce some tangible results in these areas. It's a very short-term goal. Let's see what you're going to produce. And you produce the same kind of hoo-ha that's been produced, thank you. We'll look at somebody else. Because we're not, this is not what we are interested in. And we don't have any great interest in this. This is our vision is bigger than what you're trying to force us into. And, you know, of any part of the state down here, we don't like to be forced to do anything. So, you know, you're barking up a dead tree.
Yes.
Well, I think what we've got as a product, or start of a product, is salvageable. I do believe they did some good work with their charrettes. We got some information. We got some buy-in from some of the community. But I think we need to have them focus more on that scope and the deliverable.
Well, I think they get the opportunity to get from the charrettes. We got from the charrettes what their purposes were. They did not take the information gained at that charrette and relay it in the sense of coming from just being candid. They processed what they heard and they put it through their filter system, and this is what we ought to do. You know, fine, good, you've got that plan. That's great, I appreciate that, and you do great work other places, but I don't want you to do it here because you don't want to listen to you. We are the customer, doggone it,
mm-hmm.
and you're not listening to us.
Was that a charrette that we had over in the city council chambers?
Mm-hmm. You said it was a charade last time you told me that.
A charade, yeah.
Yes.
You're right. I didn't get anything. I didn't see any new ideas coming out. I heard the same thing over and over and over again that we've been talking about for years. I didn't see anything new come from any of the speakers in the room or anything they drew up there, all the breakout groups, all that. I didn't see any really new ideas come out of it. It was all the same. But I think I just don't think we have a scoring system. I you know, how do we get there? We have no idea that we're making progress in this thing. I've been there 7 years and I didn't see anything different come out of there than we've been talking about from the very beginning on economic development.
One of the things we may not have seen anything new as far as what was said, but what I was out of town on one of them, but I went to the other one. And I remember the people sitting there and listening to them around the table and the things that were put up there. And there were certain things that stood out to me, that there were certain sectors, certain incidences or sectors in our community that were growing, that needed to be taken from that and used. And because I'm more familiar with it, the example is the airport. You said the airport's in Medford. That's true for commercial, you know, passenger service. Many businesses and companies and people that can afford to recreate, they're using this airport because they have trouble parking their plane down here. They can't get tie-downs, you know, the private jets and stuff, because they're too busy. So they, you know, they can use this one. So here we have two airports in our community. They're right close to the recreational areas. And so when you're talking about businesses, most of them have their private jets. That's where they bring their people in for vacations, retreats, you know, management seminars, all those kinds of things is what they do. And then when you're talking about the ecotourism, a lot of these people go on these trips and they'll fly into wherever, rent their gear, and off they go. And Larry was talking about that at the meeting, you know, and the draft I saw, I don't think really picked that up, that could be really useful for businesses here. Use it as a promotion tool. Hey, we have this airport, and you can park your private jet, and hey, you're only, you know, 10 minutes from the river.
Whatever people want to use the airport
so
for,
whatever
impediments to people being able to do that,
right.
That they this group outlines, well, you've got X, Y, and Z, and here are the state programs. I didn't even realize that you can do an infrastructure finance agency like what you guys did. Apparently I can do that in the county. We can do that in the county. I didn't know that. I was looking at legislation to change, you know, mm-hmm. to have that parallel element.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that group should tell us. Here's
right.
the district that you should employ in the North
exactly.
Valley area to say, you know, you're gonna bond against the future revenues out there. Capture all that stuff
mm-hmm.
and put in, you know, develop an incremental
exactly.
financing.
Mm-hmm.
Do like what you guys
and they didn't
did.
Pick up on that
no.
during that day because he was talking about that
that's
very
the
thing
stuff that I
about the growth.
That these are experts supposed
right.
to tell me that's the tool
mm-hmm.
to solve the problem that you have out there. I'm looking for the things, not the things I know. It's the things I don't know that they're supposed to be, that's why we're paying them. You guys understand the challenge. I think if you can go forward, we dealt with this with our Title III Community Wildfire Protection Plan. We hired a group, a very collaborative Southern Oregon entity that frankly weren't experts in writing a CWP, Community Wildfire Protection Plan, for the entire Dauphin County. They really didn't know how to do it. And we're asking them to do something, a non-conventional CWPP. But we cut our losses. They didn't get the full measure of the contract. What they did produce was salvageable, and we went with someone else to say, you need to understand we want a non-conventional economic development plan or whatever you want to call it, and be very clear about the outline of we know what we want. I just think that if they're not the group, we cut ties quicker than longer. You know, they've had a lot of time to do this, almost a year, right?
Almost a year.
Yeah.
In fact,
this should not be a revelation to them. It's nothing new. So you've got X number of days to, and I don't think you can produce it. You know, they're not studying what they should have been studying about the airport, the viticulture, the marijuana industry. Those are the focus elements, I think, that we know what they are. Go tell us what we should be doing.
We've made a lot of changes when it comes to the marijuana industry. We've changed several things to allow for streamlining, facilitating, kind of concentrating where that activity is with our land use things that we have done. And out of that should have come more ideas in regards to funding or how do you, take care of the issue of an industry that is here.
Yeah.
And make it beneficial rather than detrimental.
So I have faith that you guys can go forward and carry our message to them, but sooner rather than later. So, I mean, my goal is to implement this in 2017, January. We start with those five things that we need to have. We have our counterpart to your economic development director, community development director over there. I mean, we've been putting stuff hopefully in place with the strategy of hitting the ground.
Yep.
I don't want to lose time, you know. So my other thing is, before we leave this subject, I don't believe we have to wait for this contractor or another contractor to approve a plan to put together a committee. That could take us 3 months to decide jointly who's going to be on it and who isn't is just as big as who is.
Yep.
Right.
And my goal would be to say, you know, limit it to a very strategic 9 people who can come together on a regular basis with the authority to have subcommittees of people who are experts in the marijuana industry, viticulture. They should have these technical advisory committees that are subcommittees of them that are called upon to advise the main group. That's the structure that I would see would be really effective. We're looking at doing that with the CWPP because there's so many different interest groups in community and economic development, but they aren't the policy people who need to be sitting at the table every month. That would be my suggestion. But
I think that's a good suggestion, and maybe after the 24th meeting we take a look at what they have, and they may, like you said, they may have been focusing on the wrong thing, and to be able to produce what we're looking for in a short amount of time, their focus, according to the draft that I looked at, wasn't in the right location. So they're going to have a lot of work to do if they're going to get there. But in the meantime, we may be in agreement, the two policy boards, of the portion of the plan that we're looking at now from a structure standpoint is a good way to go. Let's start that work.
Okay.
And so then we could get that going, and by the time they're seated, maybe we'll have something more substantive that they can start working on.
I would have thought that would have been a good group for this contractor to interface with, to be that point of contact. Much easier than two policy bodies, you know, governing. Our schedules are challenging. We've got quorum elements. They just come together, you know, on a monthly, regular basis, could be tracking that project. It might be fruitful to have them in place for that, you know, as a sounding board. But anyway, however it works, I'm just anxious. I love to have the feeling that I don't have another year. I've got 3 months, and always having that idea that I've only got 3 months to get this. Because otherwise things have a tendency to languish and then they fizzle.
Well, I would encourage either policy board to bring up that issue then on the 24th and say, hey, we like this portion of it. Why don't we start getting to work? Why don't we start working on the format of the cooperative
Can we make
committee.
Sure that both policy boards have a copy of mm-hmm. the latest drafts?
Yes. As soon as I get a copy of it, I don't have a copy of it yet either.
Okay.
So I'm thinking they're trying to work on it based on some comments that we provided to them. So
okay.
As soon as I get it, we'll get it to you.
I bet it doesn't change that much from...
I hope it does.
Right.
But
well, will they be sending it electronically?
They definitely would have that availability, yes.
Okay, and that way
you're wanting us to address on the 24th is probably codified.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's what I'm
looking at that, yes, I agree to that, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
And then Commissioner Heck would love to bring that up.
All right.
No, we'll figure it out. We'll get it done.
So I will just get you an electronic copy.
Yes.
Or do you want a hard copy?
Electronic is fine for me.
What's that?
Electronic is fine for me.
I'll get you guys an electronic copy of the latest of what we have. Okay.
Yes. Because I went back when I got home last week. I was kind of running through my materials. I didn't see anything from them, and I saw we had this on the agenda, and it's like, mm-hmm. I didn't receive anything. You know, we should have had it by now.
We should have, but I think it's because we provided them with some unfavorable comments on the draft that we had.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
The
next topic.
Allen Creek Road design. There's been a number of different drafts that we've been looking at over the length of the time. We're at a point now where we're at like 66 foot right away, with some trees and 8 to 9 foot sidewalks depending on where it is as a shared bicycle pedestrian pathway. One of the things that Laura is having difficulty with right now is one of the two roundabouts. The one is classified technically for a 68 foot long tractor trailer route, and so it has to be a larger roundabout.
That's the one at Allen Creek at Harbeck?
Yeah. So we're having some kickback from some of the residents on the right-of-way that would be utilized for that roundabout. So we're going to have a discussion, I think, at this meeting of alternatives, or do the policy boards want us to continue to move forward with the roundabout concept and maybe more force the hand of the acquisition
process.
So
what is their issue with the roundabout?
Too much. There's a couple of issues, but the two main issues is the roundabout on one property is very...
It encroaches
big time on an individual driveway and access, egress and ingress from the property. We can't do much about their current site location for that. And the other is because of the development that's occurred and the non-development that has occurred on the southeast side of that roundabout, we would be taking a large portion of property from one individual in order to make that fit. And they have development plans that they feel as though would that development would hinder their future development of that property if we took that amount right away.
Code-wise, if the city can do to alleviate the setback requirements or something like that, that could get them, you know, a balance between you're taking 20 feet and the setback requirement is 20 feet, but we'll let that be 10 feet on that element or something. You don't want to be too close to a roundabout, but the speeds are not high. I mean, that's not a safety mm-hmm. hazard. You know what I mean? Is there
I do. I asked the same question, actually, with my meeting with Laura. I basically asked a similar question. I said, so what are the development plans, and will this hinder any future development? Can we somehow modify or work with them on something? And the problem is there's three separate owners on that piece of property. They all have three different ideas of how they want to develop the property. So we're not sure. One wants to do McMansions. One wants to do commercial. All of them take property.
The singularity is the fact that they all want what they have or closer to it. So regardless of what it is that they do, is there a potentiality for reducing that? I mean, you wouldn't want a McMansion sitting right there on the edge of the roundabout. It's just, and there's nowhere other place to move it to if it's this one down here. I mean,
that's the one. So this house is impacted with their ingress and egress, and then this property, of course, a lot of it's taken here.
So that's delineated by these marks right here. That's their driveway. That's just really close.
Really close, and there's not. You can't have it anywhere else. I mean, they're right on the edge of their property for their ingress and egress, and that's very close.
How
size is that lot? Undeveloped lot.
No, the one where the house is, the driveway.
Oh. I'm not sure.
Like any other, it's pretty similar.
See, the problem is we were trying to go for a smaller roundabout, which would take up much less space and accommodate 48-foot vehicles, tractor trailers. But this road is actually designated for a thoroughfare for up to 68 foot. So we would, and is currently utilized by that. So we either need to go with this larger roundabout, or we need to actually go with more of a conventional full-way intersection. And it may be a lit intersection.
Good night.
Mm. That's just what the traffic engineers are telling Laura, I believe.
Isn't that expensive?
It's horribly.
Bought that piece on the corner?
Huh?
Bought the house on the corner?
Well, you mean bought this place?
Mm-hmm. To buy it?
Oh, man. It's a nice home, I think. It'd be an expensive acquisition.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is if you buy it, do the adjustments and everything that you need to do, then you can sell it. Right? Because then the person buying it would know what's there.
Well, the only other option is that I don't know how long these people have been living there, and this might be their abode for the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And just for the convenience of a bigger roundabout, you're going to take my house? You know, I mean, that, I guess it would be a sticky wicket.
Well, one of the things you could certainly offer to them, you don't know, maybe they want to get out of here too. And maybe the fact that this is all developing out there says, we bought the country, we want the country, we're going to go back farther out.
Yeah.
You know, it'd certainly be something to approach them on.
That's what I was
But thinking. I don't know what you're going to do with that driveway, even if we own it or they own it. I mean, the problem is the only ingress egress is that one.
There's a garage. There's a road.
Unless you could have...
Another road. That would seem really strange. There's not an opportunity to access Harbeck.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
I don't know how deep that lot is. I don't know if that may be an option. I don't know.
But that would have to go along with something that Commissioner Walker said, that, you know, you're not going to make a whole bunch of changes to their, I don't think. You're going to make a bunch of changes to their property and that they're going to be happy with. So, you know, if the opportunity is there to buy it, you know, I mean, that doesn't hurt to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And buy it at fair market value and then go from there.
Yeah, and then you build it, and then you relocate the driveway, and then you sell it.
Right. Do whatever you need to do to the driveway, because it's your property,
space.
And then sell the rent, that's what remains.
Because the new buyer would know what they're getting.
Yeah, the new buyer is buying it, knowing full well what that is. So, and over here on the other side, you know,
that's a trip.
If I was the people with an empty lot like that, and we were getting ready to do something as drastic as a roundabout, I think that would be a selling point to the future properties, having that in the neighborhood rather than a lit intersection.
Well, that's what you guys are presenting as the alternative. It's like, we're going to take 20 feet of your right-of-way, but we're trying to save the fact that we don't want to put a lit intersection in that residential, you know, nice little...
No, we weren't talking a lit intersection at the beginning, but Laura did mention something about that. I don't know if that's what's proposed,
but that could be
an option.
But the thing about it is that one of the big complaints on both ends of that, this whole project, has been traffic control, traffic calming, and the speed. And that's what that roundabout's going to do. It's going to continue traffic flow and knock down that traffic speed. And that's what we're after. Which to me, if I live in a residential area and I've got 3/8 of a mile of straight stretch in between those two roundabouts, I'd be concerned about speed.
Mm-hmm. And a roundabout achieves that.
Yeah, a roundabout achieves that along with lynchus.
Is there an alternative route for that size of a truck? Or that's it?
No, it's
servicing.
It's servicing anyhow, And
it's servicing the Allen Creek Shopping Center.
Yeah.
Off of the Williams Highway, that connectivity, so you don't have to go down. Yeah.
So
the key to a roundabout is you can text all the way through a roundabout without crashing the guy in front of you. So traffic crashes are down on roundabouts versus intersections.
Well, we also have to recognize on the roundabout that they would be fairly compensated for the rider for the purchase of the property that would be necessary. So it's not like we'd be taking it from them to some degree, but
I think it's far more.
That sounds good between you and me.
I know. It is still a taking of some form or fashion.
But looking at it, if that were already developed, I would think they'd have a much stronger leg to stand on, because then you would be right up against somebody's house possibility. Now they have the opportunity, if the roundabout goes through, they have the opportunity to alter their plan and build.
You're talking about the vacant one.
The thing is,
if you have three owners, and each of those three owners doesn't know what they want to do with the property, development's way off. And with this road, I wouldn't think that that would do anything but enhance what they want to do with this.
Yes,
I mean, if they want to do it with residential, and I don't know why they want to do McMansion there, but type of a thing.
Well, they can do whatever they want.
They can do whatever they want.
They
but
can
the point
they
is,
put medical offices there.
Mm-hmm. Is it the entrance off of Harbeck? If they come over here and enter off of Harbeck, I would think that would be, off of Allen Creek would probably be far preferable than off of Harbeck.
We don't have that overlay that Nora did, the residential overlay of what that could be out there at some point in time.
I don't think it's one of those there. That's just cross sections in the aerials. So it'll be a discussion point. I know that Laura's been dealing with the engineers, and it's been difficult to some degree because they want one thing and tell us it. And so we keep working on them. The roundabout is the next issue. If we can get that finalized, then I think we'll be good to go.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but
you're
the
wrong.
Next, I am wrong. I'm wrong, but here's what I'm going to say. I think what we're looking for at the next meeting is approval of the design.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that with the issue that the roundabout on one end is going to have to be finalized, but I think we're looking at cross section and width and what's all involved with.
The majority of the
road and the drive. I think that's kind of what I'm looking for, because we need to make sure that everybody's on the same page.
Yeah.
We've been all over the map with this. This is not the first rendition of this.
Well, technically, I'd like to make a clarification. I think this body has been incredibly consistent from the standpoint that we were looking for the smallest amount of right-of-way acquisition necessary, traffic calming measures, which we suggested were the jog at both ends that did not make it look like a thoroughfare, a landing strip. The other elements that have been discussed, I like the trees. I think the trees have a calming element to traffic, and so do the roundabouts, but those are not have-to-haves. And so, Mike, I think, whatever time and energy needs to be spent on refining the engineering that is required for that roundabout, it's not a make or break for me, though. I just think that it improves all of the other elements that we're looking to try to achieve from that not being a thoroughfare. Refining it to local access as much as possible. When I see a roundabout in my, that's not my quickest route to get there then. I know that. It shouldn't be. And so whatever we can do to help, put that in there. I think Commissioner Walker's suggestion of access on Allen Creek. I think if I were a commercial entity, Harbeck is the most traffic. This element as it is right now, that's a yield. You don't even have to stop turning right. Mm-hmm. That is the natural progression of traffic. You'd want a Harbeck type of a deal, but
I have a question on that.
It might not be necessary, and that could whatever you guys can do from a code perspective to help it.
You were talking about that you had to have a 68-foot clearance, for the roundabout. And I'm presuming that's because if the trucks come this direction and have to go around, like going south and then east.
No left turn.
Well, it's engineered for the larger trucks, and so it takes
that's what I mean.
Much larger
that's
space.
What I mean.
Yeah.
Engineering is for the larger trucks to go. They come this way or they go this way, right? Could it be that the trucks are only allowed to come this way, and that way if they have a smaller roundabout, they were not allowed to exit that way, that they could exit the other direction?
How are you going to go about? You're going to get a truck that's going to come down there, and he's going to go, now what do I do? I'm stuck.
Well, you post it, and once they... when they turn, when they're coming down the road, they're not going to go down the road. That'd
be an engineer question. I don't know. I can't.
Because when they can go in that way, and then when they get to the store and they unload and everything is posted, no right turn for trucks. Blah blah blah. They have to go left to go back out to 199. That's what I'm saying.
But you have to allow for the guy that does make the right turn. So now what are you going to do with him?
He's going to back down a quarter of a mile.
But someone, if he's someone coming this way, trying to go that way, he's going to have to still have the same circumference.
Sure. You can't avoid that.
You're only accommodating this traffic flow, but coming here, you have to have that big width.
Well, I think the key is talking to the three landowners and the issue with that one house on the corner. Mm-hmm. Those I don't think are insurmountable unless they just absolutely dig their heels in and say no. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, that I don't know whether they can be convinced or shown that that is an advantage from other things other than just the fact that it's cut off their land.
Right.
That it's of grave importance. Another thing that we did down here is when we went to, and it doesn't show real well on this blog, but when we took the multimodal paths, and when it got close to a house down here, we cut it down by 2 feet to give them an additional 2 feet. Went from 10 feet to 8 feet, or from 9 to 7, or whatever. I think it's on this end down here. And we squished it down a little bit. So, you know, to the person pushing a stroller and riding a little kid riding a bicycle, they'll never know the difference.
Uh-huh. So, for me, I'm really happy with this design. I think it captures pretty much everything we were looking to try to achieve.
Yeah, and from the get-go, we knew we were going to have concerns. First off, we had concerns from the residents on both ends of this thing. They didn't want it at all. And slowly but surely, after coming to numerous public hearings and workshops and stuff, they decided that, okay, this is going to happen whether we like it or not. And
instead of saying no or yes, try to find a refining the best possible solution to it.
Mm-hmm. I think the trees, one of the things that I'll sort of send as a side note, I think, you know, if we go to 66 foot and the trees keeps us from doing another Rogue River Highway. Mm-hmm. With having planter strips that look like the neighborhood nursery. Mm-hmm. You know, trees, you can put a tree in there and some ground cover and, you know, round rock or whatever you need to do there, and then that's pretty aesthetic. But when we get into the thing that we have on a Rogue River Highway where the plants are just, I mean, and there's a million of them, and you can hear them dying from here. But I think that was a good aspect, and adds a boulevard, more of a boulevard type setting to it, and aids the traffic calming. So.
Okay. All right.
So I guess this is okay, other than the element of the roundabout on the other end. That's what we.
Yeah, for the most part, I think everything else is prepared and ready and clear. It's just the roundabout really that is causing an issue still.
For the meeting on Monday, could we have they have that big exploded one that went all the way across the south wall of the council chambers and actually showed with pretty good size so you could see.
You want another big one across the wall?
If that's not $50,000, I think it'd be nice to be able to refer
paper and ink.
What's that?
Paper and ink.
Paper and ink, yeah.
Print it out.
So I think that would be...
Well, frankly, when we had our last meeting, I don't know that you need... I don't want anything else kept. So when Laura goes into her office and she finds 30 different versions of this, I'm interested in those all be going away.
Yeah.
Be very clear on what the board has agreed to, because if at any point in the future it doesn't look like that when you bring a map out, I don't want to see it.
Exactly.
You shouldn't keep it anymore.
Because
it doesn't matter. This is the one, and it's really hard to see at this scale the specifics of it. You know, I can't tell looking at that. Is that a 66 or 76 foot right-of-way? I can't really tell. So get rid of anything that is different. The 66 proposal and the delineation of where it goes 2 feet less or whatever.
Yeah.
I want the specifics on a map, and then that's what I'm going to put my John Hancock on and say, that's okay. That's what I agree to.
That makes sense to me.
Because I think it could be too confusing with every iteration in a file somewhere.
Which one did you wrap? Yeah.
The only distinction that I would make sure is that I would like to see this one, the previous one, and we've morphed into this is the current one we're working on. So there's some continuity between what it was and what it now is. I don't have any need to see the last 17 iterations either. But just what the plan we've been talking about, and this is our improvement of this. And this is our, hopefully, last step. And this is what we've been talking about. And once that plan is approved, then, okay, that one is done away with. Now we have this one. If there's some iteration from this one comes up, we've morphed into this one, the new one, but not to have a whole thing.
Could we bring those three that we looked at, 64, 66, and 68, and then 64 didn't have trees on it, and 68 did, but we said, why isn't there a 66-foot with trees? And that's where this one came from.
Well, see, and that's what I don't I care less about all that stuff. I don't care less. This is what we have right now. Mm-hmm. What are we going to go to?
No, this is it.
Oh, this is it?
No, but I'm okay. For the sake of this is what we had, and this is what we're going to.
My recommendation at the policy board would be okay is to just present what we've got now.
That's it.
We don't have any.
To just
stop confusion.
64 had things in it that just didn't, that weren't, you know, it was eliminating trees and so on and so forth. And then 68 really to encroach
it.
So 66 seemed like a good compromise there. And with 66, we had an area that we could put trees in. So I brought that element back in. I think it checked all the boxes.
There are few people that know what we went through, the sausage to get to the.
Oh yeah, this is a long
haul. I'd rather not resurrect.
Yeah.
No.
The sausage, because I don't. We don't have a. The. You know.
There wasn't a real.
The last one.
Designated one. Yeah. We were still working on four different drafts.
We have the road as it is now, and we have that, and everything before. You and I, people may know versions of it. I don't even know if I know comprehensively what you guys saw. You guys did your own internal kind of thing. That's what I want to see.
This is the bottom of the funnel right here. I think that's what we need to.
There's too many things mixing around.
And if we have solidarity on that, first off, mm-hmm. if we're still wishy-washy around about, you know, where we're going to go, and well, I don't know, I want to take a look at this one again. I think we're going to be another.
Resurrecting 4 or 5 months. Resurrecting another alternative.
This is as good as it gets. And I think it addresses
all
as far as we can address everything. And we're down to one little hitch on to get along on that end.
It's not insurmountable.
And that's I don't think that's it for now. Everybody always starts out. Oh my gosh, why? I was going to put mansions down there, and now I can't. You know, where am I going to put my horse barn and stuff? And I think that slowly but surely, as it goes on, I mean, we had a heck of a pushback when we even mentioned Allen Creek Road, started walking that. Holy cow. You'd think we were getting ready to take everybody's everything. But now, as we explain it to go along, I think that staff's done a fantastic job at least getting us to here. And I think we need to just home in on one thing that checks as many boxes as possible, and then together we need to say this is it, mm-hmm. as the two governing bodies. Mm-hmm. And that, I guess, is what Monday's workshop's all about.
Yeah. If we get some solidarity on that, then that'll be helpful.
Okay, that's good. That's the one.
Well, that'll be nice. How many years have we been working on that?
Oh, six.
Well,
eight.
It was one of the first
things I did. It's been a long time.
To tell them, no, we didn't want alternative A. When the money went to Medford, and then we sat down, we had quite a script going when we went in and got that money back.
One vote.
Yeah, but
all
we won
of this.
The first thing was to get Darren Fowler. We had to get RV Act to accept Darren Fowler as a voting alternative for that meeting. And they said, that sounds fine. I went, oops, that's going to come back later. And he was the deciding vote in our favor. And that was a big score over there.
Well, this project is important, but not as important as Exit 61 was to me.
Exactly, yeah. Well, they were both important.
Yes.
We had to prove, because they bumped 61 and Allen Creek Road were 2 and 3 on the list behind Alternative A. When Alternative A, we just naturally assumed they'd go to 61 and Allen Creek.
They wanted to pull
They bumped
the money.
Those down to 5 and 6 and put talent up there.
They wanted to pull the money back to the RV Act to appropriate again. And we no. That money was appropriated to Josephine County to keep the average, because the average was part of the bylaws then. And so $4.5 million, which it really didn't even end up at $4.5 million.
No.
But whatever. Maybe we got them funded.
But
now, what is this project looking to cost? We're chipping in $120,000, which is nothing.
Yeah.
$950,000. And we appreciate that.
Yes. $950,000. But I think 120 and our endorsement of this is the most needed project, second to Fruitdale. You know, this is it. This one, then we pop over to Fruitdale. I think in Grants Pass, I can't think of another situation that needs attention more than that thoroughfare with the intersection of 238 and the school as an alternative to Rogue River Highway, developing your UGB out in that direction, all getting bottlenecked into that Fruitdale that is not, maybe it's just because I live there, but it's not working out.
I don't see a problem out there in the Fruitdale area. Of course, I live in that. I'm getting my bridge replaced over.
There you go. Getting what you need. Anything else?
The other item is the fire district feasibility study. That's primarily, an action that would need to be taken first by council, but ultimately an action would be required by the Board of Commissioners at some point from a district standpoint. But
Fire district. For what area?
For just the city limits of Grants Pass.
To include the urban growth boundary?
Nope, just the city limits of Grants Pass.
Oh, come on.
Now, that's something the district could tackle 5 years down the road or whatever is the expansion into the UGB. But what we're looking at is a proposal that would just affect the city limits.
No UGB?
No UGB.
Dang. Come on.
And that's what we've heard from a number of people in the rural areas is that have heard about this is, they've heard it as a positive thing because they're wanting that extra fire protection and that consistency with what type of service you get. And so there's a lot of benefits of actually having the city form a fire district or a fire district being formed within the city because that ability of fire protection throughout the community growing exists where it doesn't exist with the current operation.
But I think for the sake of comparison, apples with apples, is that if you did exactly the footprint that it is now, in their jurisdiction, they can compare money-wise how that's going to work out. Where they expand from there, as city manager said, they have the ability to expand at any point in time. But they have to bring it back to the voter. But as a district, got that flexibility where they don't have it now. I think there's an awful lot of people that want to have.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm saying that, because I have that there would be no problem with the passing to include the UGB. And then you would have because there's so much of the UGB that is, people think they're in the city.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Politically, it's not a done deal. It's far from a done deal.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a conversation we should talk about in the future. Do you have anything else?
After the November, that's my point.
I think from a time perspective, I took enough time with just those two items. So
I think they were good. They were absolutely timely and necessary. I've got a couple if anybody else has.
If they're finished,
something that's kind of, I'm starting out with the smallest issue is that staff parking or park element next to the ambassador. So I'd like to resurrect that. We either have the in-kind element of the land, but it needs to be developed. And I think putting together a small group from the county and the city to talk about what they would like to see it look like, and then we have for a project timeline of developing that, so it's ready to go in the spring. Makes sense to me.
You're talking about that little rectangle.
That little rectangular, that square section. For a long term.
Right.
Kind of just been sitting there with different ideas that have come forward, positive for sure. So
would you want to get like our property people together and have them sort of pick around ideas or concepts?
Yep. I could see us putting together a small group of people, like three,
sitting
down and then drafting up a proposal that would be kind of jointly approved and say, this is exactly what we're looking for. Can you tweak this and whatever? But giving them something to start with would be great. And so I'd be happy to.
Just as something I'd like to throw out there, because since I'm a short time now, is that I talked to Ryan some time ago in regards to security in the Basker building. And that door comes in right there on the side, which was the original door. And we have the area there where we all are sitting. We have our secretary and all of us there. And we cannot secure that door. Anybody can come through that door at any time during any meeting.
During your meeting.
You're talking about the door on the north side?
The handicap access.
Okay. The handicap access.
Really?
Yeah. Now, it would not. We can't lock it during meetings because that's the handicap ingress and egress. We can't lock it.
Oh, man.
So anyone who has ill intent could come through that door. I talked to Ryan at one time about shutting off that door and moving the door down, like moving, opening further down from the current one, mm-hmm. which would be off of that lot. And people can access it still from the front or the back. The handicap access as it is now would not meet current standards. So when you do that, you meet current standards. So when you do this, that might be something that you want to charge that group with, is looking at a new handicap access to the Basker building from the front and the back that meets current code, which would have to intrude into that area a little bit further, because the current one doesn't meet. But because it was already there, we didn't have to change it when we redid the building. But I talked to Ryan about that, so you might want to just keep that in mind.
Okay.
Can you move that? Can you move that handicap access to the, you know, that you walk in, and then there's that little room off to the left where we did interviews and stuff. Bring your handicap access into that, because then you're in the front of the building. You're either coming in the front or you're coming in that side.
That's what we have to look at.
Reach up that whole north end to do just about anything you want.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go to that, I see the real concern, because, you know, it's an old gunfighter trick. You sit with your back to the wall so you can see the whole room, and you all can't see the whole room coming through that door. Somebody mm-hmm. can just walk through that door.
Or out of there. Added encouragement to be the board chair, because you'd be the last shot.
Thanks.
I knew there was a good side.
I think we can get a solution to that.
But that was one of my concerns, and I talked to Ryan about it, and he said we could move it further down, you know, somewhere on that side of the building where it's still accessible from the front and the back. But when we do that, it's going to have to be made larger, because it's not larger. Yeah, and there's several windows on that side.
This end of the building, and then that frees the whole end up over there. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to make an end.
We'll work on that.
So I'll have Mike Byrne, who's our property manager, guy contact.
Ryan Johnson,
okay.
Ryan Johnson.
Is that fine? We'll start there then?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And so the other one was the BMX relocation. I wanted to say thanks to the city for their contribution for the fence and landscaping. That's what I understood you guys contributed to that. We moved all the soil mm-hmm. in there, re-budding
it. Dirt.
It's a lot.
A lot of dirt. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So a mountain out there.
That's going to be really great. And I see that with the... I'd like to sit down with the city, not today, but it might have been an element in the long-term economic development plan for a strategy of Travis Forsma proposing like a soccer field in the infield of the horse track, and what the long-term vision of what your guys' soccer complex, where it's going to go, what it's going to look like, and how we develop those in coordination so that we are able to host some sort of a soccer tournament-style stuff. I know that the long-term plan, I think, for that infield was maybe three potential fields or something. I don't know. But just so we're working on this jointly. We're not totally going in separate directions. Because, you know, there's 72 acres there. And we don't have a long-term vision for it. We've just kind of inherited, you know, one element after another and said yes to horse racing after the football field, you know, was decommissioned and moved away. But it would have been a lot easier to build a soccer field right after you decommissioned a football field. I mean, if that were the plan, I'd like to think of a more long-term strategy so that we develop one for the fairgrounds jointly. We are working with ODOT on a proposal for long-term relocation of our facility, public works facility, where if we inherited that as a pretty good spot in the past, I don't think it serves the future of, you know, ingress and egress of large trucks in that area of town. It doesn't make a lot of sense for our strategic base. I think there's efficiencies with co-locating with ODOT. So if we free up 7 acres, what are we going to do with it?
Well, go ahead.
I just wanted to throw in here that I know we spent a lot of time 4 years ago on what might be done with that property. And because we have such a good climate here, obviously, as I hate, you know, lots of times people think sports complexes are really not beneficial. But when it comes to a regional sports complex where there would be soccer fields and there would be perhaps, you know, a building, you know, a gymnasium, you know, with a couple indoor. Of gyms in it, indoor type of, I mean, indoor soccer in Portland is huge. My daughter plays on two teams three times a week. I mean, she's done that for 10 years. And so if we were to decide something in this economic plan that would be a good location, that 7-acre site would be a good one for, say, a parking garage and hotel, because people are coming here for sporting events all year long. I mean, some people say, you know, well, sports events don't bring money. They bring a lot of money. So that might be something that we'd want to look at for that site.
I'd rather spend some time to talk about it rather than, you know, conversation after conversation. No, we're going to address the fact that we're going to move it, or that's going to be a conversation. A long-term strategy for the fairgrounds in general is something I'd like to have as a conversation in the future. And it might spur out of this economic development committee that hosts that conversation.
I see that as a natural fit for them. And that was my one caveat I told Travis was, what is the long-range plan for the fairgrounds? You're investing this money, but what's the vision for the fairgrounds and the vision for that property
right.
in the future? And is the proper fit? So those questions do need to be answered, and now is the time to do it from a standpoint of long-range planning. I totally concur with what you're saying. There's some potential wonderful uses for that. May not be the fair, maybe the fair. There's a concept of what is the fair, and what is a good, you know, what is a fair for nowadays, and where should that be placed? But those are all very political and hot topics to have.
Well, and even so, not having the conversation, structuring the conversation. Who is having that? What are we doing to, you know, engage with the public at the right time? Who are the people that need to be in that conversation is really, really important to me, that we include, we hear from, but who's driving that? The county property. It's not the fair boards. It's not the cities.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, talking about your guys's, we have your map of your infrastructure finance agency up there.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about, what you guys have it on the map, right?
It is.
Did you guys have a conversation about what it is that you see as a future for that? How does it work in with what you guys have planned? Because I'd hate to develop like a convention center in conjunction with the fairgrounds and the soccer field, if that's the way we go. But no, you guys have an idea for a convention center on the river a mile upstream. Well, then that doesn't make sense. You know, I want to partner in these elements and not be duplicating what conversations are going on and that sort of thing. So structuring it that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I look at the tax value of that piece of property out there and where it's located. It's right smack in the middle of Grants Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And its value as a soccer complex, sitting dormant all the time, does that soccer complex pay property taxes? Probably not. If whatever you do is probably not going to generate any revenue for it. And, you know, that's a big chunk out of Grants Pass and Josephine County that could be developed into a shopping center, a spinoff of the Sante, or, you know, I mean, OHSU may want to put a campus down here or something that actually...
So looking at it through the lens of...
Whatever, but I would like to look at it from the assessment lens as to what's the difference in the two.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can take all that land, certainly, and just say, yeah, we're not going to pay taxes on it anymore, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But what's that doing to the overall picture when it could be moved? You know, could be moved to another location. And what are the alternatives? I mean, where are all the different properties
that
are available?
That's how you either find out that you can pay for it or you can't, you know.
Yeah.
Say, well, wait a second, you'd be generating X number of dollars of tax revenue if it were on the taxes. That pays for you. You bond it for 5 years.
You have a
there's your revenue stream.
There's a revenue stream. But I just get concerned about that side of it and
I know the city, with our resources, would be more than willing to partner and be a participant in that discussion. I think it would need to come from the county because it is county-owned property.
Yeah.
But we would be more than willing to support that endeavor.
I think that needs to be, under this economic development plan, that needs to be a separate committee under the economic development to look at that parcel and evaluate the tax advantage for the tourism advantage or combination. That doesn't mean we own it for all forever. I mean, we could sell off that piece where the public works is. If we move it for somebody to build the convention center, then they're paying property taxes. You know?
One of the things that I had a problem with the Allen Creek Soccer Complex is, where are you going to keep these people? Where, you know, if you've got a huge tournament, a 20-team tournament coming to Grants Pass, where are you going to house those folks? All the motels are along I-5, you know, and the riverside, and that's about it. But out there in that end, there is no facilities whatsoever for lodging. Mm-hmm. So those folks are going to, and same thing with a lot of the restaurants around the north end of town.
I will say we have RV places there at the fairgrounds. People are renting those RV places while they're doing treatment at the hospital. They come in with their RV and they rent those spaces at the fairgrounds for treatment at the hospital. So I didn't know that myself. I knew we had the RV spots, but I didn't know people were renting them when they were actually getting treatment at the
hospital. Well, when you look at the revenue coming in from a rental of an RV spot versus what square footage a huge retail...
Anything else.
Mm-hmm. RV is clear down here from the industry.
But what I'm saying is that there is a demand. For recreational or temporary housing, whether it's hotel, motel, whatever.
Buck Shaw's property on that.
Another issue is the reality that we have an airport that is chomping at the bit, so to speak, to develop, to expand, to really be... on the map in a much more aggressive way.
We can't keep up with the demand.
we can't. And frankly, I've been trying to figure out, is it an infrastructure finance agency that we implement maybe countywide to facilitate the development of that airport in the future? I don't know. But the reality is that we have in the queue $6 to $7 million of grant money, and we can't come up with that 10 to 25% local match requirement. The general fund cannot pay for that. I don't believe that we can put all of our economic development dollars into one basket for that. And so, frankly, looking to the plan, I mean, this is a shortcoming that the plan should address of, you know, you've got all this potential revenue out there and you have no way to match it locally that I can come up with. So that's something the plan should have teased out. I mean, Commissioner Walker's liaison to bowl. I don't want to address the answer right now. I want to have that conversation in a more meaningful way with the city to say, how do we partner? I don't see this as an exclusively Josephine County element. A lot of people refer to it as the Grants Pass Airport. You know, Merlin isn't on the map. You know, the same way that when you mention it over, I just happened to be over in Medford at another meeting, and I stopped in at the Airport Managers Association for the morning session. People know where Grants Pass is. They know where the Grants Pass Airport is, but there isn't that connection on paper. If your guys are doing your visioning thing, I don't think you're talking about it, and I think we need to have that.
A good example you might want to look into is Madras, Oregon. I took a field trip last year, League of Oregon Cities out to Madras. They remodeled their airport, and the whole place blew up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of a sudden, here comes Jack Erickson, and he's building firefighting tankers right there on the runway, and he's put in his museum there. White Freightliner's got their research and development lab there in Madras. Mm-hmm. And it was all because they put infrastructure in after the airport and built and put a propeller out there on a stand.
You know what? You know how you can help in the city? City water runs down Monument Drive.
Yes.
Airport does not have city water. We need water.
Yes. Infrastructure is the key to what they
work.
Because anything you put in out there is going to have standby water for fire.
Yeah.
It's going to have certain elements. and I said, Madras, I'm talking to the public works. She was the tour guide. I said, how in the world are you getting all this done in such a short period of time? She goes, we invested in our airport. Sun River had its own airport. And guess what? Sun River blew up. They didn't rely on benzene.
Well, I think part of the thing that is being discussed, I think, to be able to go home, is that not that we have not worked, but there is such an opportunity for the city and the county to work together and on a whole host of different areas that are close. I mean, urban growth boundary kind of a thing. I mean, I consider the airport urban growth boundary. I mean, that kind of a situation. And we've we've been at, not at loggerheads by any means, but we've been at sort of, oh, you're talking about this? Oh. And there's not that communication that goes on that this that is represented here that grows and can really benefit both agencies, I mean both city and county, because in reality the county is very connected to the city of Grants Pass and vice versa. I mean, the city is in the county. But to have this idea of this isolation turf mindset, that's a dead-end street. And the plans need to be there so that we don't have situation, Commissioner Walker saying, that water needs to go down there. Okay, but what's the plan?
Mm-hmm.
We can get water another 100 feet, but doggone it, what does that mean as far as the whole development goes? And that's what's lacking, and that's what really, obviously, I'm not a great proponent of Eagle Northwest, but that's the biggest disappointment. It's just like...
There's obvious things to grab.
Yeah, and they missed the whole thing that's pertinent to us.
I'm not even an expert in this stuff, and I can point it out all day long. I sit here and just talk mm-hmm. about stuff that should be easy stuff to say, oh, we've got this up. We talked to the city, and it's going to take, you know, an infrastructure study to talk about capacity of the water. No, actually, that's been done. There's excess capacity where you dump water monthly or yearly to keep it clean or something like that, and it would cost you $50,000 or $150,000 to hook up to the. But it's got to be in your plan. It's got to be in our plan, and these are the steps that you have to do to incorporate that. You have to amend your airport transportation master plan to include access to city water. You don't have it in there right now. You have to do that. Done. Here's the steps.
The sewer issue out there, we just amended that contract and added $20,000 to include the sewer study for the airport. So when that is finished, which will be, I think Rob said that by adding that, it's going to run probably the first year. But by doing that, we're going to have that study for the sewer facility in regards to the airport. So if we get the water and we get the sewer, we'll be another Madras. Because that's a limiting factor besides the matching funds.
Yeah.
I think we can solve the matching funds, but
well, I think we can too. But we have to have a conversation.
But we have to have the infrastructure in place in order to put new hangars.
25 cents a can on energy drinks, and you move it towards economic development.
My concern is that taking this thing back full circle.
Yeah.
Why are we having this discussion? Why are we not being presented these opportunities by Eco Northwest? To me, they have come in, they have a plan, they want to educate us so that they can implement their plan. I'm sorry, man. Come in and look at us and talk with us and develop our plan from what we're talking about. And that's been the biggest disappointment for me. It's just like, you know, okay, pox on your house. I don't really care. So it's just, but these things are festering here in a positive sense.
Okay. A lot of potential. Another example of an opportunity missed, I suppose, but we'll get there. I have asked.
We'll get there.
The last two things are the dispatch conversation. All of these things are just topics to throw out and develop a strategy of how we're going to address them. I don't want a conversation about, oh, well, we could put it here. No. You need to have who's at the table, who's making this a priority to say, We're having these conversations, and it's not just Grants Pass in the county. I had a meeting with some people just recently in Jackson County and said, why aren't we talking about a regional dispatch center that includes Douglas County, Jackson, maybe even Curry? All of these people clamoring to say, you can save 25% on your dispatching costs. Everybody. Mm-hmm. The efficiency, the resiliency, the element of efficiency is right there. You all save money if you just contract with one person who's located here.
If you're all hooked to fiber optics, that's probably really achievable.
Well, and then we're taking that 25%, we're investing it in infrastructure that builds resiliency into the system. But right now, we're hanging by a thread. Everybody is. Mm-hmm. And it's not the city of Grants Pass's problem. It's not Medford's problem. It's everybody's issue. Because when this Cascadia, that's the driving force, but it could be the Harney County issue. It brings things to your knees when something like that happens. We're not really prepared.
And we're not connected. Definitely not. Well, all the counties just seem like, I'm going to handle my stuff. Douglas handles that. East of, you know, we're all going to handle our own little thing. When really, if you were all connected, say, hey, this is coming your way.
You know, well, I know with the dispatching aspect, that's one of the problems with a regional, is the ability to communicate. Because if you've got somebody trying to get hold of somebody down O'Brien, and your dispatch, I mean, the ability to transmit and to receive, that's a difficulty. But it certainly can be addressed.
From what I've heard, is it doesn't matter whether it's coming from right across there or it's coming from over there. When the infrastructure, it's the last mile of communication.
When the infrastructure is in place, you can do it.
Yeah, I get those phone calls from Pakistan all the time telling me that I've got the I owe the IRS $5,200.
You get from Pakistan, I get it from Syracuse, New York.
And it really makes a lot of sense for the city and the county to partner in spearheading that conversation to say, we have an opportunity here, but we don't want to just take this opportunity, go do our own thing together, as opposed to saying, well, maybe we look at what everybody else is doing and saying, wow, we could take this and do. Maybe I just have that pie in the sky idea.
No, and I remember the conflict. It was when I was in the legislature, and there was all that conflict about putting in the central dispatch in Jackson County because the city of Medford and the city of Central Point and the state police and everybody was like this. And finally, the legislature said, "We'll help you find the center."
Yeah,
one. You know. And so they all finally got on board, and there's one center at Central Point.
But what's the opportunity or the chance that you could take that to the next higher level and say, okay, we've got Curry, Douglas, Klamath, Jackson, Josephine, all want to go together, and we want to make a mega center? You know, is that a...
It can be done.
I just think that conversation needs to happen. So, yeah.
And when it's dispatch, if you're working with the state police, you get the cooperation from the state legislature.
We probably would have had a little bit better prediction of the weather this last weekend if we didn't even call Curry County to find out what it's doing there.
We're always getting the boats. But that never came over this far. But, I mean, the point being is that there needs to be the opportunity and the ability to talk with one another, because that's one of the things that I've been very pleased about the last 4 years with this board. There's been a cohesiveness of purpose on this board and a willingness to look at things and address certain things and to work and to involve in different agencies to say, okay, what is our goal? What do we want to get done? And instead of seeing it as this turf mentality. That doesn't last, especially in shortage of money time and disaster time. It's just that turf mentality is going to go floating down the river.
And Keith and I both heard it on the trail. Almost every forum or anything we go to in any of the deals, people say, well, so what's the deal between the city of Grants Pass and the county? And, you know, what's the deal between this and that in the county? And, you know, it's that exact thing.
And you know what? That's taken on a life of its own. I was at a meeting the other day. And someone said, well, how come the city and the county can never get along? And I said, what makes you think we don't get along?
Yeah, yeah.
I said, we get along. I mean, we have different sources of funds. We have different priorities in a lot of things because one is a city and one is a county. I mean, that's obvious.
And we have different funding sources.
Yeah. But I said, we have worked together.
There's 100 different projects we're working
exactly.
on. Exactly. Creek to BMX.
Exactly.
Anything in between.
And that's what I mentioned. I started running down some of those. And I said, you know, we've worked with the city on these. I said, so... don't foster a rumor or don't foster a negativity about our county and city that doesn't exist.
Just because we
there was a time that was true, by the way, which you were probably here, as Keith may have been. You may have been here but didn't really weren't tuned into it yet. Yeah, but I remember that when I was chair of the Planning Commission, which has been 22 years now, I think, or 20 years since I was chair of the Planning Commission. And we all went to lunch one day, and somebody said, well, you know, the city and the county just can't get along, you know, and there were all these things. And I said, well, that's going to end right now, because I just become chair of the Planning Commission. I said, that's going to end. I said, I'm going to be talking to the city Planning Commission, you know. And I said, that's not right. And so I made a point of meeting with them all the time. And, you know, because if you continue to let that fester, people believe it. And that's what's happened over time, is people still tend to believe it, even though it's not so true.
Well, it fuels the mistrust. Starts to fuel that mistrust.
Exactly.
And then it grows.
And that's why every chance I get when somebody says that, I say, oh, wait a minute. Let me show you how we do cooperate. We do this and we do it, you know, all these things, start naming them off. And
Friends is a really good example, and that's the one I'll do with. Otherwise, I'd love to sit down and talk about how we can put a strategy of a meeting together with the right players on the...
That's the key, is getting those right players to the table.
Dispatch everything that I've talked about. So, the Food and Friends, how is that going from a city perspective? Because we are hearing that we just solidified the CDBG requirements for applying for that, and it's almost as though if you apply for it, you will get it. I think that they're almost assured to get those funds. That's significant. I think the shortfall in achieving what seemed to me like an insurmountable amount of money, $1.2 or something million dollars, they're like $30,000 away from having a $60,000 solid.
But 14, though.
It's just crazy how far they've come so quickly. Mm-hmm. What has been the city's process? What have you guys, contributed anything to this?
You want to take that, or you want me to take it?
You take that. That's Roy Lindsay's been kind of following that through. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Really taking that on as his project, you know.
Good.
So Food and Friends, great program. We've had, appreciate what they do for the community. We did have one issue with their contract with regards to the demolition of a building on site that was supposed to be done.
I think you're mixing up Food and Friends up here on with the project out on Upper River Road.
Yeah.
You're talking the senior. So we're in support of the project. Roy did take the lead on that. We are going to utilize some of our consolidated plan dollars, which is former CBDG money, to help support that project.
Okay.
So we're not looking at putting any general fund dollars into it, but some dedicated block grant funds.
Great.
To it.
Okay. I think our contribution was roughly $600,000 of CBG, and we're going to do an in-kind contribution from Public Works, maybe resurface the parking lot or something like that. It needs it. And then, any kind of consulting stuff, Ryan Johnson's been involved in that. But we're really excited about having, you know, the extension service freed up. And that was a pigeonhole situation from a decade ago that's going to be resolved, and then they're going to have extra room there. Somebody's already said, well, what are they going to do with the extra space? And I was like, well, it's
not extra space.
There's been two or three people who go, well, we want it. No, that's going to be the intention again.
So. Yeah.
But that is a good illustration of how interested parties, if you don't regulate who is in that discussion, can almost deep six the whole process before it ever begins. Because when it was presented, they're going to have to move. Then all these nasty stories come out, and some of them began. Well, Dave Toler was the one that began a lot of these things, and he is now working, thankfully, up north because he was removed from his position up here because of the provable damage that was done to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we got over that hump, and it's been smoothed out, and it's really moving in wonderfully well.
Well, it's taking a concept of what we're doing is no longer working. We have to do something different. And that's basically the position that this board took. We didn't say what the answer had to be, but what we're doing had to change. And so out of that, without that, you would never have gotten this kind of a incredible project. The RB Cog understanding this is the degree of which this is not working, the partnership of the city and everybody else coming together to make it happen.
And the future potentiality of services. I mean, they didn't even imagine that.
No.
Mm-hmm. Now it's just creates a lot of opportunity.
I just wanted to say, you know, what are you guys doing? Because we are not driving that. RB Cog is.
RB Cog is,
the minister of the Food and Friends Program on behalf of Josephine County. So I didn't ever really hear all of the stuff the city was doing, whether they were in favor or not, which I think is a pretty important question about that location. I think it makes a lot of sense as far as a historic use of that property transitioning into future use. It's certainly not going to be the decay that we've seen, you know, people trying to break into that church and it just degrading to the neighborhood. This is going to be a real influx of, you know, $1.2 million of infrastructure improvement to an area that it's going to breathe new life into that neighborhood. I think it's going to be really positive.
Uh-huh. I think it's going to be positive. I think the use is positive. The clientele is going to be there, unlike the new DHS building that went up here. We've had nothing but trouble. The DHS building, we've had nothing but trouble with Gilbert Creek Park, our restrooms, the vandalism, ever since DHS opened up.
Sure.
So that would be my concern with something like that opening up. But I think the clientele is totally different, and so the neighborhood will not have a negative impact associated with that.
Not only is the clientele different, but I think that the people behind it are different.
Yeah.
When you talk about, and I'm not meaning this negative against any particular employee of a state, but when you're talking about a state agency, the building is where they come to work in the morning and they leave. When you're talking about social services for seniors, they're very concerned about what goes around them because their safety is at stake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're serving them because they want to serve them, not because they have to serve them. It's a different attitude about not only the people who are the clientele, but the difference of people who are providing the service.
Yeah, I think
a lot of them are volunteers. They're there to help.
You're referring more to the people that are drawn to the service,
right,
at DHS, and
right,
that's they're being a delivery or being having seniors come in. That you don't have that same.
Yeah, I was just making making an example of an impact to the community. I think it'll still be a positive impact to the community.
Yeah. Yeah. Frankly, I think we're a little gun shy about those kinds of situations. You know, this for good or bad, there's a negative with Saint. You guys are working on that and trying to get a positive, what should be a positive thing for the community, having the negative element, mitigated somehow. Mm-hmm. So you guys are looking at moving that location, and what are you guys...
We're mobilizing.
Mobilizing it.
Yeah.
Mobilizing it, and then...
They'll still cook out of there, but they won't distribute.
That's going to be the key. They won't distribute. And so
where will they be serving then?
Big pardon?
Where will they be serving them? If they cook,
The mobile food truck is basically, they'll make the meals there and get it all put onto the food truck, and then they will have a route I think they've got 20 different locations where they will go, and they'll advertise where this is going to be. Like, for instance, it might be the parking lot at Parkway. It may be the parking lot at St. Anne's. It may be, it's going to change daily. In order to keep the people from going right down to the Central Business District and then hanging out in the Central Business District with their hat tipped over the thing and asleep on the park bench. I would love to, and there's no way to do it. In traveling around this last summer, I went to Reedsport to a car show, and we had the car, it's pretty visible, and I said, do I need to do anything about securing this car? And he goes, I don't worry about it. We don't have any crime around here. Other people. I got to look around. There was no panhandling, no cardboard signs, no backpacks, no nothing. And all the kids were busting tables in a pizza bar or bagging groceries at the market. And I said, why don't you have any of the problems that say we have in Grass Pass, which were overrun with transients? Say we don't have anything to give them. The welfare office is in Coos Bay, and so that's where they go. And I just was wondering, I made a comment the other day at the workshop. I said, when do we all get together and realize that we're feeding those stray cats that we want to get rid of? And if we would have just not built that DHS building here, we should have gone to Jackson County and and said, you know what? You are the industrial hub. You have more job opportunities than we have in Grants Pass. The ideal location for that will be in Jackson County, where you have the centralized government of Southern Oregon. You are our big city. And I think we would have probably next to nothing around here as far as the problem you have right outside your office window. I think a lot of it would have followed the resource, and the resource is DHS. Now the DHS has basically 60,000 square feet of giveaways up there. Holy cow, and we've seen the effect of that in the northwest section of town. It's my ward, by the way. And the clientele walking the streets anymore is not Phil Killian and his wife trying to keep his heart kicking. It's pretty seedy people walking around. And I think they follow the money. And the money, they're getting cell phones. Oregon Trail Card, you could get money on an Oregon Trail Card. Now you can buy cigarettes and beer. You can buy it all. And they keep giving it more and more cell phones. And I can't imagine what those programs cost. But I don't know when or if it's possible that the city and county get together and say no more. no more. We want you to, you know, pack up your stuff and go. We can't afford your programs any longer. Of the collateral damage that it does to our community, both in its appearance and what we stand for. I mean, I my shop's out by the bus depot. No, I want to pull in there and say, why did you get off in Grants Pass? And hear what their answer is. Why did you get off?
Climate.
Big pardon?
It's climate.
Thank you. I knew you'd have an answer, Keith.
But when I was pulled
over
from a meeting, you had Chief Landis and four other deputies talking to people who were sitting on the steps of the Ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that cost? I mean, in time and energy,
and
the cost benefit that they're not working on crimes.
Yep.
Chief Landis, you know, highest deputy in the city of Grants Pass, taking time out of his day to do something he shouldn't have to be dealing with.
Because it is a problem that shouldn't be here in the first place. Here have been Leavenworth, Washington. Oh, unbelievable place.
Maybe.
Real big tourist facility. I mean, it's like in the Danish, you know, Alps type thing. Wonderful. You'll get a chance to go up there. I had an opportunity to go there on a rod run last summer, and my wife fell across this. Nobody sitting around on the park benches. If they are, they're regular folks. And there wasn't nothing that I would find objectionable anywhere at all that I could see, parking lots or otherwise. And they have to be doing something different than we're doing here. Coeur d'Alene, Washington, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho is another place. I've talked to the city manager up there and a couple of council members. I said, so you have homeless? They go, yeah, we just moved them out of town. We put their feedlot out far enough to where that's where they congregate. They live in the bushes. We could probably put one in Devil's Slide and nobody'd ever come to town. That big, you know, along the railroad track. That there's huge colonies back up in there of transients. We used to call them hobo camps when I was Larry Whitmire and I were going up there as kids shooting the digger squirrels. But I don't know what the answer is, but I think we just continue to feed them and then we understand, why do we have all these free camps?
Well, I mean, having some experience with that clientele, I firmly believe in capitalism, and it is a perfect illustration of capitalism being very successful. Because if I have to expend 2% of my energy to get all of my needs met, I'm going to go there. If I have to spend 20% of my energy to get those needs met, I'll go to the 2% place. Right now, hunger, this just always drives me nuts, and you never want to say it in a public place, but to say that anybody, especially in the city limits, urban growth boundary limits of Grants Pass, is going hungry, you have got to be out on a limb of unknown depth. There is no reason for anybody who lives in the urban growth boundary area of Grants Pass to go hungry. There is more food provided in this urban growth boundary than you could ever eat in a month. And it's a daily provision. Now, you might have instances out in the county where there are situations. But how much of that is of their own making? Well, we don't want to hold anybody accountable for their own making of these difficulties. Are there truly situations where people are hungry? Yes, of course there are. But that is not the norm in the urban growth boundary area of Grants Pass for sure. This is not the norm. So if I'm going to reward you for a minimal amount of work, I'm providing you shelter, food, the essentials of life. If I'm going to reward you for that, you're going to work for that, you're going to expend energy, and you're going to get it. And I will go there anytime. And that's one of the reasons, you know, you have a policy, haven't been there for 6 years, but the mission, but the policy was, if you want to come here, you have to have a need and a willingness to do things our way. If you don't want to do those, fine, you can go live wherever you want to live, but you're not living here. And to be there, you had to work. You had to go out on the street every morning. I don't care if you had a job or not. You're going to pay for something or other. You're going to go out and remind yourself of the stinking, throwing cigarette butts on the sidewalk. Yeah, I used to do that. This is the cost. Somebody has to clean them up.
Nothing's free.
Nothing's free. You're going to do that. Well, I don't have time to work. Then fine, you don't have to live here.
You have time to eat.
That's right.
You
don't have time to work.
But there has to be some correlation between the income, what I'm getting, and the expenditure that I'm providing. And right now, that's a big lack. And this idea of having St. Vincent's just have their throw the door and you all come, they will come until the cows come home. They're not going to change their life. and I want to see their lives change. That was my concern. I want to see your life change. I don't want to see you have to continue to live like this. I think you've been created for a better reason than this. But if you don't want to take advantage of this to make progress, to take a next step, that's not you. That's not on me.
So you're not going to this conversation to where we're implementing policy that St. Vincent has a charter with that kind of an element when they institute this mobile food. I'd hate to just move this issue from a consistent spot to everywhere, or those same 20 spots, instead of it now being in one, it's in 20 different locations.
Well, yeah, the difference, the benefit will be, is that they will not walk 3 blocks to get the food. I don't care what's it. I mean, that's going to be the...
What we're trying to do is we have created a pathway between the railroad tracks, and it goes right through our central business district. Mm-hmm. Our central business district is crying for us to do something. We've tried to convince St. Vincent. I think St. Vincent de Paul's gone they've gone a long ways, because when we first sat down at the table with them, they were, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's not our problem.
Not our problem. Heck, all the people I'm serving, I said, ma'am, you need to put that spatula down and walk out in your parking lot and see exactly who your clientele are. It's frightening. They're not little kids. It's little kids hugging a teddy bear and mom and dad that don't have any food to eat. Yeah. That isn't it. It's mountain bikes, cell phone, tattoos, nose rings. Every one of them smoking. Everyone's got that size of coffee. Everyone has a pit bull and a roll of $100 bills. That's what your clientele is, because I sat right across the street at the stereo shop, getting a stereo put in my car, and sat right there and witnessed every bit of it, day in and day out. But you don't see it because you're inside preparing a meal for somebody you think absolutely is going to starve and go hungry without it. And that's not true. So we're just trying to, this is a step, this is a step to get that watering hole busted up so the cows go all over the place, so not beating the ground around the water tank.
Well, there better be a commitment with the city council to agree to coalesce around this, because there's going to be hell to pay.
People aren't going to want them in their neighborhoods walking over to the church when the kids are at
school. You don't care about the homeless. You don't care. They're trying to serve people, and you don't care enough. You're making them do this. So I'm just saying that's going to be part and parcel of the human cry that comes. A commitment to this is for our good.
I'm not feeling bad. I don't feel bad at all.
So how far are you in that as far as getting a food truck? That process?
It's been ordered.
We've got all the resources now.
We have the funding to pay for it.
Yep. So it's going to happen. And so the last piece there once is finalizing those locations and then the rock. Mm-hmm. Having the rock change there or do something with the rock there. That's the other. That was one of the magnet areas.
On a parallel, it's very much like your situation right outside the courthouse. You are moving that back over to here and out of the public eye. It's still there. Mm-hmm. But you're moving it. You're going to disperse it where it isn't quite so visible, I think is probably a good way to put it. And now, because you've got a real conglomerate, you've got a real concentration on it because that's where they fit. And
the city codes as far as people, I mean, I see the same people out there all day. Mm-hmm. They're not waiting for a bus.
We don't have a vagrancy. I brought this up at council. Do we have vagrancy? Any loitering vagrancy? Absolutely not. We don't. No visible means of support. That's a myth.
Oregon Constitution doesn't allow allow that. We're a little more liberal than we are in other neighboring states.
I would like to just, have a plasticized deal that the people of Grants Pass, the city, just scratch out, so the people of the city of Grants Pass and Josephine County have had enough. If you're here to just loiter and hang out, this isn't the place to hang out. We're fed up with you. We're done. It used to take them up on the freeway and let them out.
There's that aspect of the constitutionality of things. That might be the preference, but you can't do that.
I mean, our hands are tied by it.
Yeah.
Well, I did some research on loitering, and there are different kinds of music that you can pipe to those kinds of areas, that if they're sitting there, it becomes very annoying. People think that sounds strange, but it works. And places use it.
Music. No. They love that.
No. Lots of times it's like classical type music. Mm-hmm. People go, oh my God, get rid of that, But anyway, and there's also, we have out here benches where they sit, or sweep up against the walls or whatever. But there are benches that you do that actually are sloped,
where they can't. Ergonomically, they're not friendly.
and they can't get under them or behind them to sleep, and they can't sleep on them, and they can't sit on them for very long, and so they get up and move, they get up and leave. And I've made several of these suggestions to Ryan for some issues we have at some of our county buildings. I don't know. And we also remove some things that were,
We've done a lot of removal of infrastructure.
We've had to remove things downtown because they were just an absolute magnet for the stuff. Our 8th Street down there, if you got to understand 8th Street, all that problem we have around the liquor store and the coin shop and all that, human feces in the alleyways every morning, blah, 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 that is right across the street from the Boys and Girls Club, ladies and gentlemen, and we're not doing anything about it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Holy cow, we can't have a card room within 1,000 feet of a school, but you can have that right across the street and a drug house on 8th Street, or 9th Street, right across the street from the Boys and Girls Club. 300 kids there daily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
And we're working on it. I don't feel that very well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I brought it up.
Didn't mean to cut anybody off here, but do we have any issues that need to come forward for our joint discussion today?
Do we have another one of these scheduled? I'm not so sure how productive, but I would like saying these are the top 10 issues that we need to work jointly on, and that we're developing a strategy, regardless of any on Northwest or whatever. We are developing a strategy to
If you don't have the continuation of meetings like this, how are you going to know where you are on the 10th and who's working on what aspect of the 10th?
My understanding is these were set up to be quarterly meetings, but if that's something other than that, then...
They are.
Okay.
They're set up quarterly.
Well, then the structure from my perspective going forward should be quarterly, but we have tangible things that we're supposed to be working on to report next quarter on the top 10 issues that we should be working together so that...
May I make a suggestion then on this one? Even though they're set up for quarterly, being that we have a couple of major things that we've talked about here, we're having that meeting on the 24th of October about the economic development plan, and then of course the Allen Creek thing.
Well, that sounds like we're working on things.
Yeah, we're working on those things. But what I'm wondering is that after we talk about this plan and everything on October 24th, what do you envision happening that day? Hmm. Number one. What do you see happening on the 24th?
Well, on the 24th, we're going to get further comments from both of the elected bodies on the economic strategic plan, and they're going to be able to provide additional direction to the consultant on whether or not they're hitting the mark or not. And then on Allen Creek Road,
when do we see the proposed plan?
As soon as I get it, I'll get it out to you guys. I don't have it yet.
So as I said, we don't have it by the 24th. That's a good point.
Oh, absolutely. I need a week to review it.
Well.
Oh, geez, goodness, we have six.
Yeah, it's a week already.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do.
So, I'll see where it's at. If they're not going to get it in time, I can give you the old plan, but it's...
Don't bother coming down.
The old plan is,
I mean, tell them, I have...
Do you still have a copy? I think I've emailed them the copy of the old one.
Uh-huh.
Would you send it to all of them again, all of us again? So that you can look at the old one, and then when he gets the new one, you can send the new one. You can see the changes. You want that?
I would think they would.
If they don't have it done by tomorrow, then I'm not.
I'll check with them.
Because we won't have time to review any.
Wouldn't that be an opportunity, though, at the 24th meeting? And is Eco Northwest going to be there?
Yeah.
Contract's going to be there?
Yeah.
It should be.
Wouldn't that be a good time for collectively we say how disappointed we are and where's that plan? How are we supposed to make to show you?
Comments on something I have had less than, weekend.
How in the world are we supposed to do this meeting coming up?
If
we don't have a plan, and then you're going to hand it to us at the 11th hour and expect us to digest it all. It almost reminds me of the urban growth boundary when we all met out there at the fairgrounds, and I just have to say, I got this yesterday, and when was I supposed to read that?
Right.
There was no way we were going
that's my concern.
As the board and as the council. This would be an opportunity for all of us in the same room to tell Eco Northwest this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll try and get what they have to you as soon as possible.
Okay.
We'll meet on the 24th.
Mm-hmm. So then on the 24th, we have that. We can, hopefully we get it like today. If not... Say, look, we haven't had time to go through this. We haven't had time to this. In other words, more time.
Mm-hmm.
And tell them this. These are the things we're specifically looking for from the city council standpoint and from our standpoint. and say, you know, get something back to us within the next couple of weeks, give them a deadline, whatever mm-hmm. we decide on at that point. I mean, we can't decide that here because we don't have the full council, but decide
Aaron,
that.
Aaron, I think you should propose a date that they should have a redraft to us.
Right.
Sure.
And then, you know, refine. Somebody needs to be looking at the scope of work to make sure that's
we are.
Mm-hmm. I think you said David's doing that right now, right?
Yeah, I've asked David and Susan mm-hmm. to do that, but what we'll do is... David's out this week, so I'll do that and be able to provide the policy board members with some shortcomings on the proposal to highlight for you.
So what I'm looking at what I'm trying to get to is that once we do that, that perhaps we should meet again to have another discussion about that specific plan, just whatever updates or whatever comes back to us at that point. So maybe we should have another meeting in November to talk about
that. If there's a plan... I mean, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing to say that they're going to have a plan ready by November.
Right.
Right, but whatever they have to us, we need to probably discuss it and see what else we need, you know, what further direction we need to give them, or what further changes we may want to have. And rather than wait until another quarterly meeting, I think we need to schedule another meeting to do that. Rather than just the council meeting.
Another thing is the value of the changing of the guard both on the council and the Board of County Commissioners. Because you're not
here. Don't be looking at me like that, man.
No, if you
don't be looking at me like that.
No, if you stay here, I'm looking at city council. We're going to have four new positions there. Mm-hmm. I'd rather the bulk of it be reviewed by the seated council so they can give their opinion to the new people and say, you know, these are things we thought were good and move forward on.
Isn't there a threshold of the proposed draft that will be willfully short that for me, all of us, says, I'm sorry. I've been fairly clear since the get-go. You're not picking up what I'm putting down. You're not the contractor for me. I don't need to give you another opportunity. In fact, it's better contractually that you didn't meet this. You woefully came short of what we need. And I don't mind if they listen to this because you can't make it up in the next 4 days, you know, before this deliverable is supposed to happen on the 24th. This date's been set for a while. I would almost rather say that it's been fun. You've had your opportunity, and this isn't working out. Rather than try to work through a company that isn't picking it up, they've had so much opportunity to refine what they're going to deliver that I've learned from the last one where we went to the mat. We did extra time, multiple meetings with this contractor to do the CWPP. And at the end of the day, they just weren't engaged, and there's nothing I could do to get them on the same page.
Try to push a wet noodle uphill.
I think that there's merit to finding out, not pushing them. Don't ask them. That's their job to present this thing, I would say. Let them deliver. That's the contract that they were hired to do.
Well, they're past due now.
And I would agree.
You had your...
Well, I saw them failing, so I sent the message that you're failing. You need to mm-hmm. pick up on these areas, but...
We did the same thing with the CWPP, and we said you have by this date to respond with your plan of action of how you're going to address these shortcomings mm-hmm. in your CWPP. And they got it to us like 3 or 4 days late. I was like, that wasn't the deadline. And by example, you didn't need it. So it's been real, but we're going to go with somebody else. And I would rather contribute twice as much resources to a plan that is our plan, that does what we want it to do, then try to limp along for the wet noodles.
He said that Aaron already said that he gave them those shortcomings and they're supposed to present the 24th. So let's see what they bring the 24th.
But it would be nice if they would give us some
in advance.
Advance notice
exactly.
on what they've come up with.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'll
but that's part of the default if they
that
don't.
Out.
Yeah. As part of the default if they don't. Because really, this was supposed to have been completed by June, correct?
Yeah, we're already a little behind.
Is our school spending completed?
Well, I would not like to see you call them and tell them we're all sort of disgruntled out here. You need to come up with something. Instead of just asking, where's the plan? Yeah. When do you plan on sending us this so that we can review it ahead of time? And what's their answer?
I'll make that request that they submit what they have so we can review something in advance of the meeting.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't want to say anybody's in this room is responsible for anything, the shortcoming. But what I want to say is that we have a plan to get it going. My frustration will go through the roof if we don't have a strategy, proposal, coming out of the 24th.
Yeah.
I will be livid.
It's been frustrating dealing with them.
Commissioner Walker has a very good idea that after whatever the plan comes here, we're going to have another meeting.
Right. I think we need to set another meeting, regardless of what that is, as to how we are going to go forward.
Yeah, just on that issue.
To hammer out a strategy to go forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it might be just, you know what, this is what it is, and it still falls short of the mark. This is as delivered. It doesn't meet the grade. They're done. Then we
start with number two.
Maybe it's time to cut that cord and move
on. Okay. Stuff happens like this. We've got to have a strategy to deal with it.
Yep.
So when do you suggest that we schedule another meeting for us?
Well, let's let the people with schedule ability fill that out.
Yeah, but do you want it within a week or a few days?
Yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the 24th is...
Do you want to wait for the plan to come in? Or?
Well, I think we need to wait for the 24th.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
24th.
But then
we want to meet probably
31st or whatever.
Within that week.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, if we don't have, whether they have a plan or not have a plan, well, I say realistically, the week of the 31st.
As soon as you guys can get it together to have a plan.
Are we all available that week?
Whatever works for you guys.
Are you available that week?
I don't know.
I mean, we don't have to tie down the time, but what I'm trying to get at is if you say, I know I'm going to be out of town, we won't even think about it. But.
So you want the week of the 24th to meet again?
No, the week of the
31st.
Okay, first week in November.
Right.
They deliver the plan on the 24th. We've got a week to digest it. The 31st, that week, and then we have
to talk about it.
I think the 31st at a workshop, we ought to put that plan, discussion of the plan by the council on that 31st workshop. So we know what council thinks before coming back to this meeting here. Make sense?
Well, I'm hoping we'll know what council thinks on the 24th.
Yep.
So if we could meet that week later, I would be...
Yeah, that would be fine. Yeah.
I don't want to pass up a week where there were opportunities for a week.
You want to coordinate with Karen then?
That'd be really great.
The week of the 31st, or the first week in November?
Yeah.
Right. Or I can have Karen contact you.
I think I'm just saying the week of the 24th.
Okay.
If there's something, start with the week of the 24th.
Don't rule that week out, if it's possible.
Yeah.
Because the sooner the better.
We're going to know. It's going to be pretty obvious.
Yeah.
There's a need for a strategy. There's going to be a need for a strategy.
Particularly if we don't get the plan in far enough in advance, and then we get it and it's not what we want.
So you want the week of the 24th?
Start with the week of the 24th.
Possible.
And then the week of the 31st.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
After the 24th.
Right.
Okay. It can even be a continuation of our Thursday admin meeting. Does that work? Whenever.
You want half an hour and a half?
No.
Hour?
I'm going to solve the problem. We just need a strategy for how we're going to solve it.
How much time do you want for the meeting? How much?
I think an hour.
Okay.
But if we get it on a half an hour, that'd be great.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a long conversation.
It's hard to say because I don't know what the product is.
We don't know, but if we have...
I think either way, we can anticipate that they're going to be an adequate hour. It's just the degree.
Yeah.
And so...
I agree.
We're going to be evaluating the degree. Is it salvageable with this contract?
Yep.
They've done some work. They've gone a long way. If they haven't... Mine is that threshold. If they haven't produced enough product that is along the lines of what I'm looking for, that's when I'm going to say, you're not tracking. And so we're going to have to figure something else out. Not that the work that you didn't do, that's our product. We get that. And we hand that off to the next contractor who says, oh, great, you guys have done a lot of work on it. We get your vision. We're going to take this in this direction with these 10 elements. Good, we can do that. That's exactly what we did with the CWPP, and it's not like starting from scratch. They come in here and they're like, we've never seen so much work on a CWPP. We thought we were doing this from scratch. You guys have, 60% of this done. We're just codifying it, putting these things in order, and moving it over to the finish line. Hopefully that's...
In other words, someone's able to gather all the material together, but they couldn't make the decisions to actually put it into the plan. I remember that.
Yeah. I think we can salvage this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll make something good out of it.
Well, like I say, when they were first doing this, the interviewing and everything, they had a good structure.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, they have a good structure.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the last time I talked to her on the phone, I said, well, how's it coming along in regards to specific area plans, those kinds of things. Oh, we're working on that. We're working on that. But
I hope we're surprised.
Yeah, so am I.
I have to go.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You basically speaking, or
literally and figuratively.
Okay. Okay, anything else that you need today, want to tell us today, ask us today? Have a good day.
Thanks.
We're adjourned, 11:25.
Yeah, thank you.